This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Any old way you choose it, got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me, I have no kick against my.
Hey, good morning, welcome to Freedom Works. Remember that song with Chuck Berry? I loved it. Rock and roll music forever. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thanks for joining us this Wednesday morning, December 11th. Wow, 14 days exactly till Christmas. We will be talking in a few minutes with Thomas Gipping. He is a legal expert with the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the specific articles of impeachment crafted by the Democrats against Trump. There are two of them. And whether or not the Dems have a case here. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, some Democrats are floating the censure balloon instead of impeachment. Now, we're going to talk about why that is still a possibility. And we will discuss it as well as a visit from the Guardian of all things right, the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. So I hope you will stay tuned for that. And we now have the 2019 word of the year. It's from Merriam-Webster, you know, the dictionary company. So we're going to tell you what it is. The word of the year. Stay tuned for that. And speaking about words, our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 most commonly misused words. Most misused words. I think you're going to find that very interesting. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's the best haircut, and I have not found one that is lower priced. So you get both. It's located in Dunedin on Route 580. In the Aldercash Plaza, just north. Overcash Plaza, just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. You can listen to our show anytime if you go there, because Big Ed sets up our podcasts on the website. Just hit the podcast button. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, well, away we go. Now, whether or not they're actually going to take the impeachment charges and vote on them, nobody knows for sure. But House Democrats have announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump. And here they are: abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. With those two generalized terms, you could probably indict any president, right? So Nancy Pelosi, flanked by the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and the Intelligence Committee at the U.S. Capitol, and I think they had a picture of George Washington behind them. They spare no expense to make themselves look like true Americans and true patriots. And Nancy, of course, tried to act as solemn as she could. But you know, there was an actress by the name of Marion Lorne. And Ed, you won't remember Marion Lorne. But back in the 60s, she played a befuddled old woman. She was great. She was so funny. And she would always get things mixed up. And Nancy Pelosi reminds me of Marion Lorne. You just know at some point, no matter, she tried to make it a solemn occasion. Did you see it?
I mean, her act of acting or her attempt to act really sad.
Yes.
For the country.
Yes, for the country. Exactly.
It's the last thing I really want to do. Hey, by the way, I want my martini nice and dry. That's for her party.
Yeah.
I imagine she was ordering a martini at the same time.
Probably. She probably was drinking a martini.
Where do you think the party will be if they get him indicted? Whose house? Pelosi's? Or will it be at...
I would say it's going to be at one of those Hollywood homes because, you know, Pelosi comes from California.
Yeah.
I'd say Barbara Streisand, but that's just a guess.
Mm.
Because Barbara's got the room for it.
One thing I wondered about the whole thing that... There are two people that can confirm or deny that that ever happened. One would be the president, which they will not bring in. The other one would be the president of Ukraine, no?
Yeah, they're the only two on the phone.
Okay, would...
And they both deny there was any kind of bribery or extortion.
So we're not going to believe him.
Correct. We're not going to believe them.
We don't want to bring him in either.
No. There's no point in that. Mm. Why bring in people that were on the call when you can talk about all the hearsayers? That's more fun.
Mm.
So there she was, flanked by our two buddies that were running those committees. Voting is supposedly expected in a few days. It will take place in the Judiciary Committee. That's the one that was run by Jerry Nadler. Somehow, I don't even know why Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee had anything to do with an impeachment hearing. If you think about it, why? It should have been all held in the Judiciary Committee, in my opinion. But you see, they figured that Schiff was shifty enough to really pull it off. So, and they thought that Nadler was too much of a Goomba, I think. Anyway, who cares? Now, whether or not they're really going to hold it, there are Democrats that are now, and we've been talking about it on the show, a small group of vulnerable Democrats in the House are floating the idea of a censure instead of an impeachment. In other words, censure Trump in the well of the Congress instead of trying to oust him from office. Now, these Democrats all represent districts that Trump won in 2016. And these guys huddled on Monday in a bid to figure out what they were going to do about that. This is about 10 Democrats. Now, there are 21 districts that Democrats won that Trump also won. I believe it's 21. Might be 30, but I think it's 21. And those people are a little bit worried. Those people are a little bit worried about whether or not they're going to be reelected if they vote vote for impeachment. So they're still talking about censure. I know Nancy Pelosi. Sometimes you think she has a tin ear. But I think she realizes she's got the hard left in her party demanding an impeachment, and she's got the moderates going not so fast. And I think maybe she's still hoping for some sort of thing that will come along that she can use as an excuse not to actually vote for the articles.
Where are the American people on this?
I know.
Are there rallies to have him impeached? Have you seen any rallies?
I haven't seen any rallies.
The only rallies I see are the ones for him.
Yeah, we're going to talk about one in Pennsylvania that he went to last night.
What was that one stadium he filled up? And then Elizabeth Warren was at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And only used two lanes.
And there were chairs available, plastic chairs available. Two lanes is about right.
The snack bar was even closed.
Well, anyway, Tom Jipping's a legal expert. We're going to listen to what he has to say about where all of this stuff is going. Let's take our break, and we'll be back with Tom Jipping.
Here she comes.
Here she comes.
That little town flirt.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Wednesday morning. Thank you very much for joining us here on Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have back Tom Jipping, who is really, I guess you could call him a legal expert. He's deputy director of the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies and senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. It's easier just to call you a legal expert, Tom, and I'm glad you're here again. You wrote an article not too long ago about the impeachment, but things have really been moving forward so fast. So I just wanted to start off by asking you, the two impeachment charges that now have come out of Nancy Pelosi's lips are abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. I mean, they are so general. Are they? Why are the charges so general and vague like that, do you think?
Well, those aren't charges. Those are topics.
Yes.
The impeachment articles go into great detail about what constitutes abuse of power and what constitutes obstruction of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guts of the impeachment articles. So those are just headings, you know.
Yeah.
And these two things are what we've been talking about now for weeks, which is the president, according to Democrats, had a corrupt purpose in pushing the Ukraine to conduct certain investigations and pressuring them to do that by holding up security assistance and a White House meeting. And that's the key thing that they have to prove. Not that he did those things. They have to prove why he did those things. According to their own articles, it is the purpose for doing that. The purpose was, according to them, soliciting interference in next year's election. That's what makes these things impeachable. That's what they have to prove. And in my opinion, that's what there isn't any evidence for.
Yeah, and not only that, it's getting into somebody's head, isn't it?
Well, but that's not necessarily illegitimate. I mean, I compare it to, for example, in the criminal justice process where a prosecutor charges someone with, let's say, first-degree murder. That's a specific intent crime. The prosecutor has to prove not only that you killed someone, but that you had a specific intent in doing so. So that's a familiar concept. It's done all the time in the criminal justice process, and that's the parallel here. According to their own articles, it's right there in plain text. They are saying that it is his corrupt purpose that makes this impeachable. So people play when you if you pay attention to the hearings or to the trial or the commentary or whatever, listen for whether there's any evidence of that intent. People say it a lot. I mean, during the hearings, witnesses, you know, repeated it 1,000 times, but saying it a lot doesn't make it true. There has to be separate evidence for that corrupt purpose, and I don't think there is.
Well, and I think, Tom, you and I may have talked about this before, but even if they could, I mean, I believe that Trump was trying to get some dirt on Joe Biden, but at the same time, I think he was being somewhat protective of what was going on with Joe Biden as vice president and his son in a, you know, in an energy company that was corrupt. Can't you do two things at once? Have something that would work in your favor like that? And maybe that could even be the major reason, and still have a good reason as the executive and the chief law enforcement officer.
Well, of course you can. And 2 days ago, when the lawyers that had been questioning witnesses in the Intelligence Committee hearing, when they testified before the Judiciary Committee, and really went through a summary of what they think their case is, so to speak. Mr. Castor, who was the Republican counsel, went into detail about the legitimate purposes for the president pushing for those investigations. But, you know, whether it's a mixed motive or whatever it is, the bottom line is Democrats accuse President Trump of a corrupt purpose. They say that he solicited interference in next year's election, and that's why he should be removed from office. That's what Democrats are saying. They have to prove it. And so far, they haven't.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it gets so murky. But even if, and I'm going to go back to the idea that he wanted to get dirt on Joe Biden. Joe Biden was vice president when he himself did a quid pro quo with about, I don't know how much money that was going to be loaned to the Ukraine. Either you fire the prosecutor that's looking into the Burisma Energy Company, of which my son is involved in getting paid, or you don't get the money. He said it on tape. It would seem to me there's some hypocrisy now with the Democrats in going after Trump, because I think Biden's, whatever you want to call it, was much more obvious.
Well, I've been in Washington for 30 years. You can't swing a dead cat in this town without hitting hypocrisy. Okay,
so, that's true.
I mean, that's both sides do it. That's not the point. Hypocrisy is not impeachable. Again, Democrats have made a specific charge against President Trump with respect to Ukraine. They have to prove it, and they haven't done that so far. Okay. So there are these alternative explanations. There's comparisons to what happened in the Obama administration, and that's useful to kind of understand this a little bit better. But look, this is not an oversight process. This isn't a law school seminar. This is an impeachment process, which means Democrats are trying to remove him from office for some very specific reasons. And I think the American people, for something this serious, ought to demand that Democrats prove what they say is significant enough to literally neutralize the last election.
I know you can't look into the head of Nancy Pelosi, Tom.
Well, I don't dare. But
I don't either. It'd be scary. But do you think she's really all for this impeachment from what you're
well,
saying?
Well, my impression from the beginning, and she was reluctant, or appeared to be, in the beginning, to just jump into this impeachment process, I got the sense that she would have preferred, you know, to do something that the House, or the Senate for that matter, has always been able to do. And that is, for example, pass a resolution, you know, listing things that you think the president's done wrong, you know, denouncing him and criticizing him and censuring him and whatever. That's just a sense of the House resolution, but it can be as strong a statement as you want. It doesn't involve the other body. It doesn't, you know, carry the potential of removing a president from office. I had the sense that she, you know, preferred that as the way that the House would kind of express its view of what the president has done. But the left wing of a left wing caucus said, no, the only option is impeachment. We're going to go whole hog. We're going to, roll the dice and head toward the cliff. And that's what they've done. And the House is going to impeach the president. The Senate is not going to convict him. So I don't agree with Nancy Pelosi much, but I think if I'm right, I have to give her credit for, preferring a more appropriate process for House Democrats to criticize the president for some of these things.
We're talking with Thomas Gipping, among other things. He's the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about this impeachment mess that's going on. It looks like, I don't know what the timetable is, we're getting close to Christmas, 2 weeks from today. I mean, are they going to vote for an impeachment right around Christmas Day?
No.
Timing couldn't be worse.
They're going to do it next week. The House Judiciary Committee is going to vote on the articles tonight, and the House itself will vote next week. The Senate trial certainly isn't going to happen, before Christmas. But the Senate has a set of impeachment trial rules that do indicate that they do have to start the trial promptly after the House delivers articles of impeachment. So that's going to happen, I assume, in the first week in January.
So there's no chance of censure at this point. It's done. They're over the
cliff. Again, censure and impeachment are not compatible. They're not the same thing. It's not an alternative. Censure is something that is simply a resolution expressing the opinion of the House. More than 100 resolutions have been introduced of that kind, expressing the opinion of the House on dozens of different topics this year alone. So censure isn't a thing. Censure is just pass a resolution saying we don't like what the president's done. The House could do that anytime it wants. Impeachment is a thing. That's specifically spelled out in the Constitution and has the potential for removing the president from office. So censure is not an alternative to impeachment. Censure is perhaps what the House should have pursued instead of impeachment. But now that they are invested in this process, they're going to have to see it through.
Now, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, must he bring an must the Senate vote on whether to convict him or not? Or can McConnell say, no, we're going to take a vote first on whether or not we should even consider voting?
No. The Senate does not have that option.
All right.
For two reasons. One is the clear instruction of the Constitution is that the House has the sole power of impeachment. So the Senate can't simply second guess what the House has done and said, we just don't think you should have done that, so we're going to, turn the other way or something.
Right, they can't table it.
The Constitution gives the Senate the sole power to try all impeachments. And then second, the Senate impeachment trial rules require that a Senate trial take place shortly after the House impeaches. So the Senate does not have the option, and I don't think they, even if they did, I don't think they should. I think they should hold a trial on the impeachment as the House delivers it. I think there are clearly legitimate reasons to vote to acquit on those articles of impeachment. The Democrats could have done it differently in the House. That's how they chose to do it. There's solid reasons to vote to acquit. The Senate should do that, and we ought to move on.
So should the moving into the actual trial, do you think that the Republicans would be well served to call Adam Schiff, to call the whistleblower, to call Hunter Biden? And do you think they will?
I don't think they will. Adam Schiff wouldn't do it anyway.
Well, couldn't he be subpoenaed? Couldn't he be forced to come before?
No, I don't think so.
No? Why not?
Because you have a separation of powers issue. The Senate can't simply dictate to House members.
But this is a trial.
For the same reason that...
It's a trial, though. I think you can subpoena Adam Schiff. But go ahead.
You can issue a subpoena. He wouldn't honor it for the same reason that Trump refused to honor Adam Schiff's subpoenas.
That's not a trial.
It's
a trial.
It's part of the same process. When he uses the word trial, it doesn't mean that it's a formal legal trial. It just means the kind of procedure that it is. The House had the same issue. In fact, the second article of impeachment is about Trump refusing to
The whistleblower doesn't have to show, and Schiff doesn't have to show. What about Joe Biden?
No, Joe Biden has already said that even if he is subpoenaed, he's not going to show up. The Senate Republicans have to make the same choice that House Democrats did, and that is, do we go for broke and use, you know, our part of this process for the whole kitchen sink, you know, throw stuff against the wall to see what sticks, kind of a do-over, you know, because we don't like how the House did what they did. That's not what a Senate impeachment trial is for. House Democrats had to decide, do we go broad, do we go narrow? They chose to do it narrowly. The Senate's job, I think, is to try the impeachment as it comes over from the House. If you think in the criminal justice process, if a grand jury indicts someone and then it goes to trial, the trial jury can't say, well, we just don't think that the grand jury should have done that. We don't like how they did it, so we're going to investigate things ourselves. No. The trial jury and the prosecutor and the defense, they try the indictment as the grand jury provided it, and that's what the Senate should do here. Again, there are solid, legitimate reasons for the Senate to acquit. They ought to take the House at its word for what it does. They ought to take the articles of impeachment as they come over, and they ought to acquit the president.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think that any witnesses will be called, or can we just move to the quick vote and get it over with?
No. I mean, both sides have to – I don't know whether witnesses will be called. We only have one other, you know, example of an actual impeachment trial of a president, Bill Clinton, you know, from 20 years ago, and each one of is really quite different from the others. That doesn't mean that no witnesses will be called, mm-hmm. but on the question of, you know, will Senate Republicans try to do what House Republicans were denied in the House, I think that mixes up the roles of the House and the Senate in this process, and I don't think there's anything to be gained by it.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, you know, any committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee could hold a hearing on all of this next week. Subpoena all of these witnesses. I mean, you know, there's different ways for Congress to investigate these issues and go into what these people did. The impeachment process, I don't think, is the appropriate venue for doing that. But Congress, the House or the Senate, has other options if they would choose to continue looking into this and trying to press for more information. And I do agree with your suggestion, and I've written a couple of op-eds saying that the whistleblower should be required to testify, but that appropriately happens in the House, and they chose not to do it.
Yeah. Well, Tom, it's very, very interesting. I mean, you've got a lot of answers. I wish we had more time to go talk even further about it, but I want to thank you so very much for coming on, and maybe we'll be talking again about all of this in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I hope so, and I appreciate your willingness to cover this. This is an important part of our Constitution that is pretty obscure, so people need to understand it better. But
yes,
a lot of spin out there, and people have to focus in on the one issue that is critical, and that is, have the Democrats proved the president's corrupt purpose in what he did? That's what you ought to listen for.
Right. Well, thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
All right, Tom Gipping. Very interesting. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, hopefully we're going to have the Master Barber. We want to talk a little bit about the censure balloon and whether or not it really is still a possibility instead of impeachment.
Baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving. Yes, sirree. I bet I want a da-da-da-da hoping. I bet I want a da-da-da-da kissing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Wednesday, 2 weeks before Christmas. Holy cow, it is coming along fast. Hey, Donald Trump went to Pennsylvania. That is a key state. It's the Keystone State. And it's a key state for him. And among other things, he called Adam Schiff a totally crooked bastard. You know, something about Donald Trump that everybody likes is he gets right to the point. He doesn't waste any time. He had his fans there. And, you know, you got to admit, the guy is like the Energizer Bunny. And he's going to all of these states where, indeed, it's important for him to build up his support. And speaking about that, we have the master of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, joining us. And, Andrew, did you watch any of that rally last night at all?
Every minute of it, Paul.
Okay.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Well,
I mean, here you got the guy with impeachment articles against him, right?
Yeah.
And he's up there, a crowd of 30,000 people. They are making him stronger than they ever imagined.
And, you know, the polls are going his way. Every one of them now is showing, and every one of these...
Well, they got no choice. You got Donald Trump with 30,000 people in Pennsylvania. You got Elizabeth Warren in a bowling alley at 150. Where are they going?
Did she throw a bowling ball at all? Did she play a game?
I don't think she got. I don't think she got a strike. I can tell you that. More like gutter ball. Gutter ball fest.
Okay. Her rally only used up two lanes, and they had to close the snack bar early.
Oh, that's too bad. In fact, there was a couple of games going on either side of her, wasn't there? Well, you know, that's the way it goes. But, you know, Trump, he's the ultimate showman. So let me get back to this thought about censure. I know that Tom Gipping, who we just had an interview with from the Heritage Foundation, doesn't think there's any chance of it. But I still wonder if Nancy is looking at all of this and looking how close we are to Christmas and realizing that everything is falling at a horrible time for the Democrats to take a vote on impeaching the guy, and then, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to be wrapping presidents, wrapping presents while we listen to a trial?
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, they're not going to do nothing. The Republicans are going to do nothing until after Christmas and New Year's anyway, okay?
Okay.
They're going to let this just ride. Now, Pelosi, she's got two of them big bottles of vodka to get through to Christmas and New Year's time.
Yeah, she'll be drinking that.
She'll be drinking that.
Yeah.
But they just forget about it. When the Senate gets a hold of them, Paul, they're not going to know what to do.
Well, there's no question. And I'm wondering if there would be even one Republican. There was not one Republican that voted in the inquiry vote. Not one in the 435-member House. Not one voted to continue the inquiry. So I'd be very surprised in the Senate if even Romney or one of those the Alaska.
Collins, Romney.
What's her name from Maine? From
Collins,
Maine.
Yeah,
and the one from Alaska are the only three. And I don't think any one of them are going to vote for this.
No, no, I don't think. Paul, I don't think they stand a shot. Like I say, come 2020, you got to see Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton are going to be getting in there. They got no choice. They're going to try and save their party because nobody else even has a shot.
Well,
these two people will stir up some energy, you know.
Oh, there'd be no question. Now, do you think they'd run as a tag team? Seriously, do you think that Hillary and Obama, Michelle, would run as president and vice president?
I don't know. That'd be a tough thing, but it's either going to be one of the two of them or maybe the both.
Because I don't think they like each other. In fact, I don't
know. No, they don't. They don't. But, you know, Biden didn't like Barack Obama either, and vice versa.
Yeah. I'm thinking that that Barack Obama still doesn't like Biden. He's not giving him any support. Have you heard
a
word of encouragement?
Nothing.
Not a word of encouragement.
No, nothing. That's what I'm saying. And like I said, he's been lining up things for his wife to say she's going to run. Like I said, look at Newsweek last week. I can't believe they're putting her as the woman of the year.
Oh, what do you mean? Of course they're going to put her as the woman of the year. Who?
Unbelievable. And I just think they have her outdressing Melania, right?
The woman of the year wasn't it that little girl that testified?
No. She's got some other award, but she's not on Newsweek.
Who's the woman of the year on Newsweek?
The little Greta. Little Greta Van, what's her name?
Yeah, right. But
little Greta Van Global. I think that's her name, isn't it?
It is. You know what? She's going to be a good actress when she grows up.
There's no question about it.
She's got a job
with the soap operas already.
Yeah, I think she does. Okay, but who's the woman of the year that you're talking about?
Michelle Obama. It's on Newsweek.
She's the woman of the year again?
For Newsweek, yeah.
Why?
Don't ask me for 2019. I don't know what the hell maybe because she bought that $11.4 million home.
I didn't.
It's going to be underwater pretty soon.
Yeah, I haven't heard a word about her. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That shows you how completely off the charts these magazines are.
Well, I know that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, come on. Now look at Nancy Pelosi. Right away, they signed Trump's agreement yesterday, right? With the Canadian-Mexico agreement.
We're going to talk
about that, And they think they're going to try and take credit for it.
Oh, no.
Trump broke the whole thing. That ain't going to happen.
No, Trump's going to get the credit.
Trump's already got
the credit for it.
That's what I'm saying. And you know, where are they going? They're just getting in deeper and deeper. Their whole thing, impeach Trump. Where are they going? They got nothing to stand on, no program, nothing, Paul.
No.
I think it's the demise of the Democrat Party myself.
I'm still looking for, now, I mean, I don't think Michelle Obama has any interest, but let's just consider Hillary. And I do think you're right. I do think Hillary is... You know, she's crazy enough or loony enough to think that there is support for her. And when people keep throwing those rose petals in front of her, right?
Yeah, she's ready to take it.
So she's starting to believe this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And now you got Michael Bloomberg, who is already...
He's not going nowhere. Nowhere.
No, but he's already said that... What a cast of characters. He's already said that none of the others are going to beat Trump. None of them.
That's right.
What? Why doesn't he look in the mirror and realize
that he ain't going to either?
He has just as much chance as the rest of them of not beating Trump.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
So crazy.
Paul, like I said, look at the crowds. Come on, they can see all the polls they want. Look at the crowds. This is why they're in panic mode. They know they don't stand a chance for nothing, and I think they're going to lose the House come the next election,
People are fed up with this, Paul.
Yeah.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, when you first thought about Donald Trump as running for president, and then you said to me, you know, this guy's going to win the Republican nomination, you were right, of course. But did you ever think he would be impeached at that time? Did that idea of...
None of this hoopla. I didn't think of any of this. Let's be real. I don't think anybody did.
No, I don't think so either. But can you believe that from the day that he got elected, almost 2 days later, or maybe less, there was some...
Nine hours after the inauguration.
The word impeachment was already coming up.
That's it. And they've been looking for everything. The poor guy, if he farted, they try to impeach him on it. Give me a break.
Yeah, you're right.
Like I say, I'm not even worried about this next election because Trump is doing one hell of a job. I mean, all you got to do is look at his numbers, period.
Do you think the
look at the economy. In 8 years that George Bush was in office, people earned an average of $400 more a year, okay? In 8 years of Barack Obama, they went up $900 a year. In 2.5 to 3 years with Donald Trump, it's gone up $9,000. Between the tax breaks, the average income, the jobs, I mean, come on, the numbers are there, Paul.
Yeah, the numbers are very, very much in his favor. Do you think the impeachment actually will make more people vote for Trump than they would have, or do you think?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I definitely believe that. You have people, Democrats, switching all the time. You hear them there. Even the moderate Democrats are tired of it, Paul. It's like I tell everybody, these aren't the Kennedy Democrats you're dealing with.
Right.
John Kennedy was alive today, he'd be a Republican.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the blue-collar Democrats are all Republicans now.
That's right. Like I said, the Democrat Party was always for the blue-collar worker back in the day. But today, the Democrat Party is a socialist-communist party all the way to the left. Not going to make it.
If you took every union member, particularly in the manufacturing sector, if you took every union member and you had them raise their hands about whether or not they would vote for Trump or not, do you think more than half of them would raise their hands?
I would say about 75% of them would raise their hand now,
wow.
Paul.
Wow.
Look at the unions back in Trump's agreement with Canada and Mexico. They said it's great for jobs.
Yes.
Okay? The union people. You might have the people at the top of the union saying, oh, no, no, no. But they got to realize the Democrats aren't for the unions anymore either. Are these people stupid or what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're out for their own selfish agenda, period. Globalism.
Getting back to the impeachment, I sure wish that the Republicans or the Senate had the ability to enforce a subpoena of the whistleblower and Adam Schiff, because I would just love to see them sitting there while somebody asked them some questions. But I guess we're not going to get that kind of that beautiful moment.
We got to see what happens if it goes to trial at the Senate, Paul.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like I told you, the Horowitz investigation, you knew what that was going to be. Okay, because yeah. He's the one, Horowitz was the one that let Hillary off on her 30,000 emails or bleaching of the emails and everything else, right?
And
it came out and incriminated the FBI a little bit, but Durham and Barr pulled
Barr
the thing apart, aren't they?
Barr was upset, and so
That's
was
right.
Durham, and so is Durham
That's
about
right.
how that thing played out. But I heard a good question. Why doesn't Durham start indicting people? What's he waiting for?
Oh, I guess they're finishing up their investigations, Paul. They're not jumping the gun. What's the hurry? What's the hurry? They're doing what they're doing anyway. The bomb's going to drop.
But yeah, but it would be kind of fun to have that going on.
Like the little firecrackers at first, huh?
Well, it would be fun to have that going on at the same time that the trial in the Senate for Trump was going on.
Well, you gotta realize what? Barr shook them up yesterday when they sit there and asked him, is anybody going to jail? And he said, I'm quite sure there will be.
I wonder what Comey would look like in one of those striped jail uniforms, because he's so tall.
He'd look good. They have to get him let out a little bit. We got no problem. I got a tailor next to the barber
shop. All right, well, good.
Paul, you know what? We got a new barber in the shop, too. Let me tell you. I'm going out for surgery next week.
Yes, you are.
So we've got a new girl in there that's working along with Candy. Her name is Christine.
Christine and Candy. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be those two for me. I don't know what's going to happen. I says, when I come back to work, all my Trump stuff might be down, all my cars missing. I don't know what to expect.
Well, is Christine a conservative or is she a liberal?
Listen, this is good, Paul. This is the first time I hired somebody that has no opinion.
Oh, okay. That'll be very good.
What do you think of that one? But by the time I'm done with her, you know what's going to happen. She'll be Trump-tized.
Yeah, she'll be wearing the hat and the T-shirt and all that.
You know it, buddy.
You found a woman with no opinion?
Well, we're talking political.
Yeah, I'll just say.
Yeah, there is no...
Okay, yeah.
I'll just say, is she dating anybody?
There is no such...
Nope, never. I got two single girls. Listen to this one. Two single girls in my barbershop. They say they can't meet men. And I tell them, how can you not meet a man working in a barbershop? Where else can you meet a man? What seems to be the problem here?
Well, they would have no trouble getting men to be attracted to them. I know Candy. And
I know Candy's nickname is Picky.
Picky. Well, there you go.
She's waiting
for the right one. Well, Andrew, listen, we're going to be talking with you on Friday. And
in the
meantime, thank you so very much, my friend. Let's just kind of keep our fingers crossed, but away we go.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All Bye-bye. Right, there he goes. Andrew, the master barber, who is going to have some back surgery next week. We're going to keep our prayers out for him on that. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, the word of the year from Merriam-Webster. We're going to tell you what it is.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you very much. We kind of skirted around the edges about the passage of that U.S., Mexico, and Canada agreement, but it's been finalized. It will replace NAFTA, which has been around for 25 years. NAFTA came about during the Clinton presidency. Now, this involves, of course, Mexico, Canada, and America, the United States, and all three countries will have representatives signing the pact. It has to be approved by the legislatures of all three countries, but that is probably a foregone conclusion because Canada and Mexico both have talked very positively about it. Nancy Pelosi is trying to take credit for it. So is Donald Trump, but I think Trump will actually end up getting the bulk of the credit on that. But it's a big victory, and you know the Democrats want to say that they've done something other than trying to impeach the president. They're getting desperate. We're at the end of the year. What would it look like if they don't pass something of significance? All right. So, the word of the year, the small but mighty personal pronoun they is the word of the year. They, T-H-E-Y. It's been declared the word of the year by Merriam-Webster, the dictionary people. Now, in September, Merriam-Webster expanded the word, the definition of they as relating to a person whose gender identity is non-binary. That means that there are some people that prefer to be called, rather than he or she, they. Did you know that, Ed? That there are people that if you say to them, it's a him or it's a her, or, you know, refer to them in a pronoun. No, they'd be upset with you. It has to be the word they.
So we can't say it?
No, you have to say they, which is stupid. They is more than one person. This is so stupid. And when Merriam-Webster gets behind it, it gets scary. Here's what they say at Merriam-Webster. Pronouns are among the language's most commonly used words. And like other common words, they tend to be mostly ignored by dictionary users. But over the past year or so, as people have increasingly encountered the non-binary use, we've seen searches for that grow dramatically. People were clearly encountering this new use and turning to the dictionary for clarity and for usage guidance. I don't know what I would say if someone said, please refer to me as they. you know, one person.
Else. Amazing what we have to do these days. We have to move statues.
Yeah.
You know, all the things we have to do so certain people are not offended.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we lived that way for so many years and it not be a problem until somebody threatens to sue. And we have to change everything.
I know. It's so stupid. So stupid. Okay. Well, speaking about words that are misused, as I think this one is, that is our top 10, Ed. We have the top 10 most commonly misused words. And I think we'll relate to these. And when we get to number one, I'll ask Ed if he has any ideas. So Ed's getting over on the drums. This comes, by the way, from MIC.com. The top 10 most commonly misused words. Number 10. Believe it or not, the infamous theirs, T-H-E-R-E, apostrophe S, there, T-H-E-R-E, there, T-H-E-Y, apostrophe R-E, and T-H-E-I-R. In other words, people get the wrong there.
Yep.
And we do it all the time, mm-hmm. right? We know that. All right, number nine. It's, I-T-S versus it's, I-T apostrophe S. It's, I-T apostrophe S is for it is, and it's is a is an adjective.
Yeah.
Okay, we know that.
It belongs to its.
I don't know what you just said, but whatever.
Okay, if I said that, that person word. Called it an it, and it owned and it owned a teddy bear, it's teddy bear. There you go.
I'm confused enough. Don't do that. Number eight. Affect versus effect. I'm obviously pronouncing it wrong, but you get the idea. Affect is a verb meaning to influence. Effect is usually a noun meaning a result or an outcome. Okay, there you go. Number seven. Your versus Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, your, right? And again, it's just because your with the apostrophe is two words, you are. And your, Y-O-U-R, is an adjective. And there you go. All right, number six. The word principle. There are two spellings, mm-hmm. right? Do you know the difference between a principle with P-A-L at the end and principle with P-L-E at the end?
Well, one is a school principal, and principal is a sort of a meaning type.
That's right. And the school principal is A-L.
Yes.
And the rule or the law principle is L-E.
I was always taught it's principal, as in principal is your pal. That's how we learned to spell it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
We're always your pal.
But he was never my pal.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't want to see him.
I know, but they never carried out the corporal punishment. That was always the gym teacher.
So I had a
he
nun.
He was not your pal.
I had a nun that would slap you across the face.
He had a paddle.
No, she used her hand. And she hauled off and slapped you right across the face. All right. Why are we talking about that?
I better hurry up.
Number five. Climatic. M-A-T-I-C versus climactic, mm-hmm. which means climate, right?
Mm-hmm.
One means comes from the climax from for climatic. Climactic, like the weather. All right. Number four. Emigrate. Versus immigrate. Emigrate begins with an E. And when you emigrate, you leave. Immigrate begins with an I. When you immigrate, you come in. All right, number four. I'm at number three. Illicit versus illicit, okay? Illicit's a verb meaning to evoke. Illicit is an adjective meaning unlawful or phony. Number two. Capital. A-L versus capital O-L. Capital A-L refers to a city or a state or money. Or money. It has to do with capital, right? O-L is the capital of the United States in Washington. All right. And finally, number one. Accept versus accept. Accept to receive. Accept means... to exclude. All right, there you go, my friends. Phew! Freedom works. We're back on Friday. Bye.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZH.